circumstances in the world, we thank God for the Sabbath day, for the privilege that we have to praise God at such a time as this. I would like to give everyone a heartfelt welcome today. My admonition is simply this. It's taken from Philippians 4, 6, and 7, which says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to who? To God. And the peace of God, which transcendeth all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." Welcome one, welcome all. Let us pray. Let us pray. Eternal Father, give your people your peace, that peace that passeth all understanding. Grant us the courage to live faithfully, Lord, even in the midst of hard times, in the midst of the pandemic. Let our fear for you be the beginning of wisdom, rather than allow the fears around us to dictate our actions. Help us to embrace our heavenly citizenship, O Lord. Show your mercy and heal those who are suffering at such a time as this, O Lord. Be with, bless Elder Nicole and family at the passing away of her uncle, and others among us who bereavement are still fresh in their minds. I pray for those who were ill of the household of faith. Brother Everall, Brother Whitehead, Brother and Sister Pyle, Sister Enid, Sister Elizabeth, Sister Patton, Sister Wilma's mom, Brother Smith, and all the others who are going through illness at this time, for there are many in Stoke Newington. Please, Lord, let your will be accomplished in their lives. Because, Lord, if the truth be told, only you know the future for each one of us. Bless our children, Lord, our youths, young adults, the adults, Lord, and those who have passed 70 years and 10. And by reason of strength, it be 80 years. 70, 80 years, Lord, if you please. May each one of us have a closer to Jesus experience today. May you use your manservant, Dr. Kurt Thomas, in this wise. May we have a blessed day today with you in our presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Let us have our scripture reading at this time by Sister Amanda Price.
Good morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading. Morning. Today's scripture reading will be taken from Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. And I've written it in the chat box below. I read in your hearing. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. May God add the blessings to his word.
And the others for the great work that they are doing. The children has surely been blessed.
Good morning, Stoke Newington Church friends and family. I just want to do a short introduction on what the children have done for the Vacation Bible School. So last week, the Children's Ministry Department joined with children all over London to do our first virtual Vacation Bible School. And the theme was the Rocky Railroad. And the main message that we covered was that Jesus's power will pull us through. The children have prepared a short message for you about what they learned. And each, for the week, we had five animals that represented different characteristics of Jesus. Now, the characteristics of Jesus' power were strength, hope, boldness, friendship, and eternal life. Before I start the video, I just want to thank all the parents who were able to dedicate their time to take the children through the daily studies. I also would like to thank greatly those who made monetary contributions so that we could purchase all the items that we needed to make this program a spiritually fulfilling experience for all our children. I mean, it's often said that the children are our future, which is why it is so important to invest our time, support, and money to them. So I hope this video encourages you and so you can see that our children are becoming disciples and leaders for tomorrow. I think Donna's given me rights to share my screen, so I'll just share my screen with you now.
But it, you can't hear it because that was very low. Can you hear it now? Okay.
Apologies there, I'll just get the sound on for you and we'll try again.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. My name is Alyssa Bolton. On the Rocky Railway, we saw all kinds of animals which all represented different characteristics about Jesus' love. Ramsay is a big horn sheep and he is very strong. Ramsay taught us that Jesus' power helps us to do hard things. Trust Jesus. The memory text is taken from Philippians 4 verse 13. for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Over to you, Michaela and Malia.
Thank you, Alyssa. My name is Michaela.
And my name is Malia.
We will be talking about Ava DeVette Hall.
She built our nest on the highest treetops and buildings.
Ava taught us that Jesus' power gives us hope.
The memory test is Psalms 31 verse 24. Be strong and courageous, all who put the hope in the Lord.
That's all from us, over to Kira and Kayla.
Thank you for that, Alyssa, Michaela, and Malia.
And happy Sabbath.
I am Kayla.
And I am Kira. It was really nice to hear from you all about Ramsey and Ava.
We also learned about Sierra, the mountain lion. We also learned that she lives in North and South America and can jump as high as 18 feet.
Sierra taught us that Jesus' power helps us to be bold. The memory text was taken from Isaiah 40 verse 29 and says, He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless.
Trust Jesus. That's all from us for now. So we will hand over to you, Terrell.
Thanks, Kayla and Kira. That was some really interesting stuff. I am Terrell, and I'm going to be telling you about another animal that is Lawrence Elk. He has amazingly huge antlers to keep the enemies away to protect the herd that is sometimes as big as 300 elks. Lawrence Elk taught us Jesus' power helps us to be good friends. The memory text is taken from John 15 verse 12 and it says, Love each other as the same way I have loved you. Over to you, Ali and Zira.
And about Finn the Rainbow Trout.
They learned that they can swim for miles and miles to the place where they were born to have families.
Finn told us that Jesus' power makes us live forever.
The memory verse comes from Romans 8 verse 11. It says, The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. We had fun at the Rocky Railway. We hope that you can join the next Vacation Bible School.
Trust Jesus!
Trust in you, Jesus, you're all, you're all, you're all that we need. Your power will pull us through. We're trusting in you, we're trusting in you. You give us hope and life that's forever. You make us bold and we stand together. Your power will pull us through. We're trusting in you, we're trusting in you. Journey, there's no looking back. With Jesus to lead us, we're on the right track. Oh, 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 oh. Wide open spaces for wide open eyes. We're looking ahead for the next big surprise. Oh, 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 oh. We trust, we trust, we trust in you, Jesus. You're all. Trusting in you, you give us hope and life that's forever. You make us whole, and we stand together. Your power. us to lead us. We're on the right track. Oh, 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 oh. Wide open spaces for wide open eyes. We're looking ahead.
That's all from us. Over to you, Donna and Pastor.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. This is our opening song.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold, life flies before thee, hail thee as the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away, giver of immortal gladness. Fill us with the light of day.
Amen, amen. Our speaker today is Dr. Kurt Thomas. He is the British Union Conference Publishing Ministry, Sabbath School, and Personal Ministries Director. He's married to Carol. He has four children, Fona, Tovona, Daniel, and Kasana. Pastor Kirk, I hope I'm pronouncing the names properly. Now, we are fortunate to have him here with us this morning, for he is a very, very busy soldier of the cross. In demand, if you please. Now, there is a lot that I can say about Dr. Thomas. However, to keep it brief, I want you to know that his DNA is pure evangelism. Need I say more? Welcome, Dr. Kurt Thomas and family. Please bless us today with your word. Amen.
Amen. Happy Sabbath, everybody. If you can hear me, just give me a thumbs up. Good, good, excellent. We'll be right on. Thank you, Pastor Vincent, for your kind words of introduction. I'm very happy that you were very kind to me to keep it very short. Pastor Vincent is my very, very good friend, and I'm so happy to see how God has been and continues to bless him and his family in ministry. I am also happy that your first elder, I prefer to fast forward it a bit and call her Pastor Nicole Gooding. Very happy for her consent and invitation as well to be with you. Elder Gooding was at the School of Evangelism, one of my best students in preaching, both lay preaching, advanced preaching, and it was no surprise that she entered into ministry. after that. I also give condolences. I learned about the bereavement very late yesterday, and I will be in touch with you, Elder Gooding, so that I can have a prayer for you and the family. And to all the other elders and leaders there at Stoke Newington, one of the best churches in the South England Conference. I greet you and bless you. And I know the children did a magnificent job, the leaders of the children there with the VBS. Hats off to you, but I don't have on a hat, so God bless you. And I'm so happy for you. I will be sharing with you today the four P's of kingdom living. And I have done it in a PowerPoint form so that for younger people and, you know, everybody, in this day and age, everybody likes to be very visual, you know, so you can be able to see it. And then there are some people who love to write, in which I really and truly ask that people write things down so that they can remember. An old Chinese man once told me that paper don't forget. So these days the paper is always the safest thing. The gadgets can crash, but the paper will certainly remain. So if I can ask my beautiful host to allow me to share screen, then I will be able to put up this PowerPoint here. Thank you. Is that all right there? Are you seeing? Can the host respond or someone? Are you seeing the screen?
No, not seeing the screen, and you have permission.
Okay, so it means that I probably have to do something else. Let me see. So that's that. Probably you have to put share on. Technology, you know? Yeah, the technology. Good. And everybody's all right now. Okay. You can see that. Thumbs up. Beautiful. Excellent. So our text, our memory text or text for the message, this is where we will go and this is where we will stay today. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Why, seeing we are also compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, I am sure that every one of us, in spite of how old we are, how young we are, there is one sport. Well, there are actually two sports. Everybody knows about soccer, I'm sure, or football in England. But the next sport is the Olympics. I mean, the Olympics is like the biggest sporting event that the world knows. I mean, when the Olympics rolls around, every person, no matter how young you are or old you are glued in, you are tuned in to the Olympics. Well, for me, the 2012 Olympics was great because it was right here in the United Kingdom. As a matter of fact, it was right there in London and on other venues that everyone, if you were lucky, or well, I don't believe in luck, but if you were blessed, you probably got a ticket to one of the events. I mean, if you could have afforded it. I mean, I couldn't. I had to look on the television. But I'm sure among our membership, one or two people probably volunteered and they were there in the stadium or whatever. So 2012 was great because it was right here in London. It was right here in England, the United Kingdom. But for me, the 2008 Olympics was the one. Why? Because you see, in 2008, the marquee event, the 100 meters dash or sprint, whatever you might want to call it, but it happened so quickly that you can see a dash, you can see a sprint, you know. That event, the marquee event of every single Olympics or running championship, there was a lot of uncertainty around that event. Why? Because there was no clear candidate to win the race. There was no clear candidate or outstanding candidate who you can say would win the race. In 2012, we pretty much knew who would win the race. But in 2008, in the Bird's Nest Stadium in Beijing, China, there was no clear favorites to win the marquee event. So when it came to that event, every single person were on edge because nobody knew who would win the event. As a matter of fact, the time came. And those who were there at the starting blocks were, one, they had Usain Bolt from Jamaica. Any Jamaicans in the house? Oh yeah, yeah, you guys are everywhere, man, even in China, that's all right. You guys are everywhere. So Usain Bolt from Jamaica was there. Now, this is the 8 fastest men in 2008. So Usain Bolt was there. Richard Thompson from Trinidad and Tobago. Any Trinidadians or Tobagonians at Stoke Newington? I really don't know. Then there was Walter Dix from the USA. Then there was Asafa Powell from Jamaica. Again, there was another Jamaican there. It must be the Yam. And then you had Charundi Martina from the Netherlands Antilles. He was there as well. Michael Freiter from Jamaica. Come on, guys. Come on. Come on. Give me a break, man. Yeah. Jamaicans, 3 were there in the race. And then you had Mark Burns from Trinidad and Tobago. Surprisingly, 2 Trinidadians were there in the race. And then that rounded it off, the 8 rounded off by Darvis Patton of the United States. So 8 fastest men in the Bird's Nest Stadium in Beijing, China. Oh, what a treat the world was about to experience. Even if you wanted to go to the toilet, you postponed it, because if you left and you came back, the race would be over. It's a dash. It's a sprint. Housewives, people who were cooking at a time, turned the stove off because this was it. You dare not look away. Even if you wanted to blink, you were afraid. If you were in a stadium, you held your seat because the world was put on pause. Taxi drivers pulled over. This was it. Millions glued themselves, yeah, billions glued themselves to the television. This was the marquee event of the Olympics. And there the starter said, set. Boom, the gun went off. Well, Usain Bolt began to celebrate halfway through the race. And the athletics pundits said that if he had not celebrated, the world record would have even been lower. But at the end of the race, he had run 9.69 seconds and created the most famous celebration in all of athletics and even in all of sports, the Bolt celebration. Usain Bolt had won the race. And in the 200 meters, in the 200 meters, again, he was there and he ran 19.19 seconds, another world record. Well, friends, let me tell you something. These guys, all of them, they run and do these things for a corruptible crown. They do these things to achieve, and the world applauds them because of their achievement. But hold on, what can we therefore learn that can be spiritually applicable from these guys, these sports people, these guys who strive for a worldly crown? What is it that can actually be spiritually applicable to what we do as we strive for the kingdom of glory? What is it that we can take and that we can look at and see, and with by God's grace and the power of God, be able to apply spiritually so that we can make it to the kingdom? Well, the first thing that we can learn is this. This is called persistence. Now, understand this. Understand that these guys would have failed many times in their lives, but they persisted. These guys, when everybody would be crying out tired, they will try to push themselves the extra mile, go the extra mile, so that they can build stamina. These guys will look at mountains and not say they can't climb them. They will look at mountains and say they can't make it. Any obstacle, whether it be injury, whether it be an accident, whatever they will do, they will be persistent. Let me tell you, when I read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, we are also compassed about this so great a cloud of witness. Let us run, lay aside every weight of sin and so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I see persistence. We have got to keep going. There is nothing that will stop us, that should stop us. By the power of God, we can be persistent. If a snail can be persistent and push a rock up a hill, if a plant can be persistent and break through an asphalt road like the dandelion. When you look at the dandelion is one of the most persistent weeds you can think about. You can crush it, you can break it, you can even try to pull it out, but the next day it starts its journey again. We have got to be persistent. For those young people who are on here, let me read a little statistic for you from Michael Jordan. He says, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed. That is why I succeed. I kept going, and the greatest basketball player of all time says, and he was doing this for a corruptible crown, he says, I kept going. As a Christian, you have got to be persistent and keep going. No matter what comes your way, coronavirus, death, discouragement, job loss, bereavement, whatever comes your way, you have got to keep on going. So the first P, therefore, of kingdom living is persistence. You have got to keep on going. You've got to keep at it. No matter what failure may throw up its head, you've just got to keep on going, and that's how you will be successful. Abraham Lincoln ran for every office in the land and failed at every office, and he became president of the United States. You have got to keep on going. And someone has very well said that success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. You have got to keep on going. Praise God. Well, if the key to a successful Christian journey, a successful Christian race, a successful life is persistence, then the key to persistence is passion. The key to persistence is passion. If the key for a successful Christian journey is persistence, then the key to persistence is passion, which is the second P of kingdom living. To succeed, you have to believe in something with such a passion that it becomes a reality. In other words, the passion I'm talking about is not the passion that we see display at sporting events, or as we well know, the football matches here in England and probably around the world. Sometimes you will see when a team is losing, the fans are crying. Oh, they have passion. Oh, they would even fight. They would even riot because of their team. That's worldly passion. I'm not talking about that kind of a worldly passion. I'm talking about a passion that the power of the Holy Spirit gives you. It's an inner yearning. It's an inner encouragement. It's an inner determination. It's an inner fire. You know, Jeremiah says that the word of God was shut up like fire in his bones, and he just could not stay. In other words, he just could not keep still. He was restless. He was moving. He had to move. He had to go. He had to do something for the Lord. He had to ensure that he was on the right side of God. That's the passion I'm talking about. It's an inner motivation. It's an inner power. It's an inner strength that only the power of God gives to you. The passion to succeed, the passion to make you persistent, comes from the power of God. Understand this passion. Oh, the Bible says that we need to run the race with patience that was set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Ooh, for the joy that was set before him. Let me tell you something. Who has joy going to the cross to be nailed to the cross? Who has joy to be beaten with 39 lashes twice with a cat or nine tail, a whip that had 9 springs? So when you got one lash, one stroke, you actually got 9 lashes from that one stroke, and they had bits and pieces of bone and iron into the end of it, so that when they withdrew the whip, the blood and flesh came with it. Who has that kind of joy to go through that suffering, to go through that pain, to go through all of that humiliation, to die for ungrateful humanity? Well, let me tell you, it is someone, the Jesus that we know, who has passion, an inner force, an inner fortress, an inner joy that is there within him, that's welling up in him every morning when he meets with his Father and he prays. Every time he touches somebody and they're healed. Every time he experiences a miracle. Every time he's able to feed the 5,000. Somebody ought to hear me. Every time he's able to do something good, the passion of Jesus that's welling up inside of him gave him the joy that was necessary to go to the cross without complaint, without whimpering, without chicken out. He was able to go to the cross and die for us because of the passion that was inside of him. And if you are a Christian, you have got to get that passion. The passion to succeed, that inner drive, that inner force that the Holy Spirit brings, that gives you the strength that you need so you can move forward. Let me tell you something. God did not or does not wonder, does not have a hand in creating we Christians. God places his hands and creates strong Christians if we allow him. So we need to have that passion. We need to have that strength. Oh, for those young people again, this here is is Steph Curry. You know, Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors, he's a Seventh-day Adventist young man who plays professional basketball for the Golden State Warriors. And he says this, and I mean, I don't agree with everything he says here because we have to take it into context, but he says here that being a Christian athlete means competing for Christ in a way in which you always give your all for him. And win or lose, you thank him for the ability and opportunity to play. It means giving all the glory to God, no matter the outcome, because you trust in his plan for your life. This comes from a young man who is a Seventh-day Adventist professional athlete. And he recognizes that even though he has won 3 NBA rings or how many, he still depends upon God, even in a secular sport. I say to you today, even we who are Christians, and we should depend upon God in this spiritual warfare so that we can make it. Can somebody say amen? Praise the Lord. Now, the third P of kingdom living. So therefore, if making it as a Christian demands persistence, and the key to persistence is passion, then the key to your passion is purpose. Your purpose. What is your purpose? The third key to kingdom living. What is your purpose? You see, the purpose of life is to live a life of purpose, as someone as well said. And that might sound very complicated and philosophical, but if you break it down, you will understand exactly what he is saying. Purpose. What is the purpose? So watch this. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, purpose, endured the cross, despising the shame, purpose, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, purpose. What is your purpose in life? Do you have a purpose? Have you been able to work out your purpose in life? You know, the Bible says that we must run this Christian race, not aimlessly running all over the place, but we must have a purpose. You could imagine the athletes in that 2008 Olympics or in any race, when they are there at the starting line, all right, and the starter says, set, and the gun goes, that the athletes, instead of running to the finishing line, they turn and run the other way. Well, that would be a very short race because they'll run back into the dressing room. And that would be a very, very short race. But they look forward to the finishing line. Nothing else distracts. The crowd does not distract. The activities do not distract. The coach does not distract. The starter does not distract. They have one single purpose in their heads, and that's to get to that finishing line as fast as possible. Ah, I myself used to be an athlete when I was younger, in school, etc. And they always tell you that you need to run your own race. Run your own race. So I heeded that, and I won a lot of races. But a couple of years ago, probably about 2 years ago, I was in a parents' race at the Stanborough School, in the parents' race. I knew the year before I had won the race. But this year, as I was there in the parents' race, I looked at this guy. He looked very younger. He was a younger guy. He was a younger parent. He looked very muscular, and he looked as if he was fast. And I said to myself, I have to keep an eye on him because he looks to be the challenge for me. So I have to keep an eye on him. So there we are at the finishing, at the starting line. And I'm keeping an eye on him. I had forgotten that they had said to me in my young days that you need to run your own race. You need to run your own race. Your purpose in that race is to run and to win it. So I'm keeping an eye on him. So the race starts. and I ensure that I'm keeping an eye on him, and I'm running faster than him, and I'm glancing over to see where he is. And yes, I'm in front of him. But by the time I looked up to the finishing line, the guy on the outside, who I did not have a clue that he was fast, he was ahead of me by a little. And no matter how much I tried, because I'd expended so much energy and time looking at the guy I thought was the one to give me the threat, I was not able to catch the other guy, and the guy picked me, as I was, we will say, photo finish, beat me at the line. Now watch this. If I had run my own race, if I was single-minded to my purpose that I was gonna win this race, I would have been the winner of the race. But because I was distracted, somebody ought to hear me here, because I was distracted, because I allowed myself to look at another's race, because I was not focused at what I was supposed to do, because I was not focused on my, with my energies and everything geared to get to the finishing line, another passed me and won the race. My friends, in this Christian journey, oh, somebody ought to hear me here today. The purpose of our Christianity is that we have got to focus on our race to get to the kingdom. You can get distracted by trying to run somebody else's race. You might be distracted looking over at Brother Jones, looking at Sister Jones, looking at this person, looking at that person, looking at what they're doing. Oh, this one is that, and that one is doing the other, and you're paying attention to everybody else, and you're not paying attention to your race. You have got to run with purpose. And so I ask you the question today, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? Are you there to run somebody else's race? Or are you there to run your race and make it to the kingdom? Because the time we take to point out other people's sins, the time we take to be meddling in other people's business, the time we take to be looking at this and looking at that and pointing at this one and looking at that one, we can lose our own salvation. Purpose. When Jesus Christ came here, he said, I must be about my Father's business. And he said in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He had a purpose. No, the scribes, the Pharisees, the loud mouth of Peter, the betrayal of Judas, his disciples' confusion, and their quest for greatness, all of that was external to his purpose. He was going after his purpose to seek and to save that which was lost. I wish that the church, when all of us could get back to the purpose of the church, that is to seek and to save that which was lost. If we put our energies into saving souls, into helping the poor, and helping the needy, and focusing the church on the society and its ills, and helping them to know Jesus Christ, there'll be less fighting in church. There'll be less backbiting in church. There'll be more love in church. There'll be better unity in church. Church will be a happy place. But instead, we focus on everything else except focusing on the things that God wants us to do. Let me tell you something. When you get distracted in your own personal Christian life, then you distract the church. When you get distracted in your own personal life, you distract the purpose and the meaning and the mission of the church. If you are not spiritual, then the church is not spiritual. If you are not loving, then the church is not loving. If you don't have a purpose in life, then the church does not have a purpose, because the church is not the building. And we prove that now.
You are not in awe in the building. All the favorite seats that you had in that building, it's still there. You're not there. You're in your own house. All the favorite places you used to like to sit, no, you're in your own house. So the virus has proven, has shown us, one example that the virus has done, one thing, the good thing that virus has done is to show us that the building does not belong to us. It belongs to God and it belongs to the community. That's one thing that the virus has shown us, that all our favorite spots or favorite things are left there and nobody is using it. So the purpose of the church, this virus has caused us to re-examine the purpose of our lives, the purpose of the church. There is nobody there to police you now. There is nobody there to study with you now. You have got to establish your own purpose in your own home as to whether you want to go to heaven or you don't want to go there. As to whether you want to live faithful or you don't want to live faithful. As to whether you want to help to save somebody or you don't want to save somebody. You are on your own now. Only you and God are there now. And that's why the church is us. It's not the building. So purpose. What is your purpose today? Because if you can't figure out your purpose, then figure out your passion. And if your passion will lead you right, your passion will lead you right into your purpose. Your life has purpose. Your story is important. Your dreams count. Your voice matters. You were born to make an impact, Stoke Newington. Not ordinary. Let me tell you something. Jesus came and died so that he can take us from ordinary to extraordinary. He didn't just come and die for us to stay where we are. He wants to take us to extraordinary. And so finally, as I wrap this message up, the last P of kingdom living is perspective. So if the kingdom to get to God's kingdom, to live a purposeful life, means that you have got to be persistent. And the key to persistence is passion. And the key to passion is purpose. Then the key to your purpose is your perspective. I want to say this again so that somebody who's writing can understand what I'm talking about. If to live a purposeful, a blessed Christian life means that you've got to be persistent, then the key to persistence is your passion. And the key to your passion is your purpose. And therefore, the key to your purpose is your perspective. When I say perspective, what do I mean? What do I mean when I talk about perspective? Well, you consider this. Since there's been a great cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us, and they have finished well, read Hebrews 11, and you will see the list of the heroes. And after every name, whether it's Sarah, or Abraham, or Isaac, or Jacob, it says, these all died in faith. And they were looking for a city. As a matter of fact, let me back up a bit. Let me reel and come again. It says that they all lived in tents and tabernacles. Somebody ought to hear me here. They all lived in tents and tabernacles because they were looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. Perspective. They had a perspective on life that says that material things do not matter because we are going to a place where we walk on streets of gold. Somebody say amen. We are going to a place where we will live in mansions. They had a definite perspective. All of them, the Bible says, died in faith, looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. Well, since we had those witnesses, and we have had faithful witnesses. You name them from your church. Those faithful members who have died. Those faithful members, Pastor, who we have buried. Those faithful members who you can write down the good deeds that they did for people not only in the church, but in the community. Every single one of them are the witnesses that we have who have gone on before us. It therefore means that now is our turn to run. Somebody say amen. If you're in your family home, turn to your family members and say, now is our turn to run. Now is our place to run. We have got the pass on the baton to us. We have got to run the race and watch for the pitfalls. We've got to lay aside every encumbrance because Jesus Christ ran his race and he won his race. He endured the hardship. He fixed his eyes on the rewards. He looked down through the annals of time and he saw us, Stoke Newington. He saw us looking for his coming. He saw us accepting him as Lord and Savior. He saw us baptizing. He saw us living and preparing for his soon coming. And he went to the cross, dying in the knowledge that he might not be able to save everyone because not everybody will accept, but he can save some. And you are those that he has saved. Perspective. He had a perspective that was beyond every single thing that we have. He knew that there was something in this, and he went for it, and he died for it, but he died so that we can be saved. You talk about perspective in sports. Again, this is for young people. You know Neymar, one of the best strikers in the whole world. Talking about perspective. In spite of how great a nation Brazil has been with football, they have never won the Olympics. Never. They won the World Cup many times. They're the most winning country for the World Cup, but they've never won the Olympics gold in football. And so when the Olympics went to Brazil, the entire nation rested on this young man, Neymar's shoulder. Come on, Neymar, show us, make history for us. They got to the finals and it was a penalty shootout. And he was the one that was lined up to take the penalty that will send Brazil into history. The penalty that would immortalize his name in the beautiful and golden history of soccer, of football in Brazil. He stepped up calmly and he slotted the ball into the net. And an entire nation, the fifth largest country in the world, erupted with cheers because finally, after all these years, after the great Pelé, after the great Socrates, after the great Ronaldo, and all of the others who have played the game, finally, the Olympics gold had come home to Brazil. When Neymar took that penalty and he scored the goal, the first thing he did was to tie on his head a headband that says 100% Jesus. The world, let me tell you something. If the world did not know the name Jesus, the world was looking at this and they saw the name Jesus. What they did with it is was not Neymar's concern. Where they went with it, it was not Neymar's concern. As a superstar, he had witnessed to the mighty power of Jesus in his personal life. And he used his sporting platform to let the world know that he was and is with Jesus. Now, you can argue whatever you want about the sport, about the football, about that or the other. That's not the point today. The point today is that this young man use what he had in his hands to let the world know that he is with Jesus. I don't care whether you like football, whether you look at football, whether you think that past is talking about football. No, that's not the point. The point is that this young man, unlike some of us, when we have the opportunity, we don't say nothing about Jesus. In our workplace, nothing about Jesus. With our friends, nothing about Jesus. With our associates, nothing about Jesus. But this young man risked the ire of the world, and he stood up and said, 100% Jesus. And billions around the world, Muslims, Hindus, Sheikhs, whoever, were looking, they saw the name Jesus. The next year, he won the Champions League with Barcelona. And there he is again in that blue uniform of Barcelona. As he celebrated winning the Champions League, he had another headband that said 100% Jesus. Perspective. He could have said Brazil. He could have said Neymar. He could have said whatever. But he said 100% Jesus. And this is unlike a banner that I saw in India when they had cricket, when cricket was playing. And Sachin Tendulkar had just made 100. The banner in the crowd said, cricket is my religion and Sachin Tendulkar is my God. That was disgraceful. But here, this young man is saying 100% Jesus. You talk about perspective. Let me read this to you about perspective. Listen carefully. Listen up carefully. We have taller buildings, but shorter tempers. Wider freeways, but narrower viewpoints, perspective. We spend more, but have less. We buy more, but enjoy it less, perspective. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences, but less time. We have more degrees, but less common sense. Perspective I'm talking about here. We have more knowledge, but less judgment. More experts, but more problems. More medicine, but less wellness. We spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry too quickly, stay up too late, get up too tired, read too seldom, watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. Perspective. We have learned how to make a living, but not a life. We have added years to life, not life to years. We have been all the way to the moon and back, but have trouble crossing the street to meet the new neighbor. We have conquered outer space, but not inner space. We have done larger things, but not better things. We have cleaned up the air, but polluted the soul. We have split the atom, but not our prejudice. We write more, but hear less. Plan more, but accomplish less. We have learned to rush, but not to wait. We have higher incomes, but lower morals. More food, but less appeasement. More acquaintances, but fewer friends. More effort, but less success. We build more computers to hold more information, to produce more copies than ever, but have less communication. We have become long on quantity, but short on quality. These are the times of fast food and slow digestion. Tall men and short characters, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the times of world peace, but domestic warfare. More leisure, less fun, more kinds of food, but less nutrition. These are the days of two incomes, but more divorce. Of fancier homes, but broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, throwaway morality, one night stands, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It is a time when there is much in the show window and nothing in the stock room. Perspective. What is your perspective? Because your perspective will inform your purpose. And your purpose will inform your passion. And your passion will inform your persistence. What is your perspective on Jesus, on life, on evangelism, on the community, on your family? How do you see people?
How do you see the church? How do you see Jesus? Well, I think that now is a good time. To be a good and a great witness for Jesus Christ. In spite of this lockdown, in spite of our apparent isolation from members, etc., now is a good time to reinforce your own persistence, your own passion, your own purpose, your own perspective. And it is also a good time to share Jesus Christ with somebody. Perhaps there are members in your own family who need Jesus. And this crisis that we are in would have forced them to ask a question about Jesus. Now is a good time to share Jesus Christ with them. They can't go anywhere. Everybody's at home. Good time to share Jesus Christ with them. Good time to ask them about their soul salvation. Good time to ask them about heaven and hell. Good time to ask them about the afterlife as they see many people dying. It's a good time to ask them about their own salvation. But as you ask them about their salvation, you introspect on your purpose, your salvation. So that both people can be saved. And not having preached to others, you yourself be lost. I'd like to pray for somebody here today. I don't know everyone on this line. I don't know if you're baptized. I don't know if you know Jesus Christ personally. I don't know if you have, you need Bible studies or whatever you do. But if you would like to have a closer walk with Jesus, if first of all, if you are not yet baptized, you may have been coming to church for a while, but you didn't get to make that decision and you would like to say, Pastor, I want to get to heaven. I want to make that decision even in this lockdown because life is so uncertain. Just raise your hand on the Zoom platform. The administrators will see. I can't see everybody's hand, but the administrators will see. The pastor will see. Raise your hand. If that's you, just raise your hand. Raise your hand there. They will see and they will take note. They will see and they will take note. God bless you if you're raising your hands. God will see as well. And cement that. And then all our members, I want to pray for you for a closer walk with God. You can just give a little wave, members. Give a little wave wherever you are. God bless you. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, your love, and your mercies, and for speaking to us from your heart today, for refocusing us, for showing us the bigger picture of what your salvation entails and what kingdom living entails. Those who have raised their hands for baptism, for Bible studies, God be with them and help them and bless them. Help that our members will reach out to some friend, some family member. Oh, there are a number of people, God, that would be baptized as soon as the churches are open because they have been studied with online. They've reached out to members. You know, I myself have a number of people to be baptized. God, I pray that those on this platform today will be part of that, who have raised their hands, those who would like to be saved will be part of that. Bless them. And those of our members, oh God, who are here, oh God, give them a closer walk with you. Bless them, keep them, focus them. Let them understand that you love them and that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of grace is here. The kingdom of glory is coming very soon to take us home. Keep us faithful. Bless the leadership, Pastor Vincent and his leadership, the elders, Elder Gooding. I pray, God, for her bereavement at this time, that you would hold the family close and keep them as the apple of your eye. And when answers aren't enough, there is Jesus. So please stretch out your hand and hold them close. And the other members from the church who have suffered bereavement, one or two I know have died during this period. Oh, God, please hold them close. Give them the assurance of the resurrection that is in Jesus Christ. And please come quickly, Lord Jesus, and take us home from here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, everybody, and take care.
We would like to thank you, Dr. Thomas, for the message today. I personally need to listen to that message again. You know, our closing song is Higher Ground. And I believe this message should stir each one of us to seek to serve God, to grow in grace, and seek for higher ground.
Praise God.
Higher ground. Let us to that song, 625, Higher Ground, as our closing hymn.